The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. This is episode number 52. We're recording this it's the 7th of July. Boy, I'm a day ahead. Just trying to get to the weekend so fast I get... Okay, so 7th of July, here we are. It's our first episode after the 4th of July holiday here for us in the U.S., so we're kind of regrouping a little bit. We're back on our schedule, I think. We're back on our schedule now. We've had Tuesday worked okay, Thursday's on our regular schedule, so yeah, I think we're right there. With me tonight, of course, I have Eric and Chris. Chris, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good.
He's sounding so upbeat now. This is awesome. And, of course, Eric is with us, too. Eric, how are you? I mean, at least you're honest about it.
I had to play the foil to Chris's happiness there. No, I'm doing pretty well, I guess. 52 episodes. It's like we're a full deck of cards now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nice.
That has
over
no
that
meaning.
Halfway to the century mark, so we're well on our way. No, it's going to be back on schedule here. Unfortunately, we don't have a really busy news week, so we don't have a lot of really interesting stuff. But a couple things here and there. I'm going to start this week off with a rant again.
Uh-oh.
Maybe not as epic as last week's rant.
You're going to start catching up with me here soon.
I know. I feel like I'm getting to be that crotchety old man, so I'm getting onto my little soapbox now, and I'll go here and there. So my rant this week is about, I'll actually call them right out for it. It's Cinemark, the movie theater chain that I go to around here. Mm-hmm. I use their app on the phone. I pick seats. They've got the nice big recliners and everything. It's a great movie theater. They have a full bar when you walk in. You can get food. It's a really nice place to see a movie. And, because they're assigned seats, you got to pick your seats ahead of time. And I'm, I want to make sure I get something towards the center, midway back in the theater. I don't want to be down the front row or around the side. So you kind of buy them a few days early. So Sharon, my wife, and I are planning on going to see Secret Life of Pets on Sunday. And plenty of seats of it. Let's pick a seat. There we go.
Right.
And to get to the checkout portion, I'm like, okay, it's checkout. If you use your credit card, it's another $250. If you use a gift card, they waive that fee. Not that $250 is going to break me, but it's the principle of the thing.
So right.
Why should they charge me $250 just to pay with a credit card? So I'm like, well, you know what? I will go and buy a gift card. So I go online to the Cinemark website. I can get a gift card. You've got to give it as a gift. So I wrote myself a little note. Hey, Lou, have fun to movies. Here's your gift card.
Well, that was very considerate of you, because if you'd just given yourself the gift card, it would have been just like, what am I getting myself this for? But now, like, you know that there's some gratitude, some honest emotion behind getting yourself the card.
So I process the credit card sale. I pay for it. I picked up a nice little card. It sends it to me in my email. Okay, good. So I get the confirmation email saying, hey, you purchased a gift card for someone. They'll get it shortly after it processes. A few minutes later, my email goes off again. Hey, my gift card's here. Awesome. Lou, have a good time. Here's your gift card. Great. So now I go online to pay for it. And of course, the gift card takes 3 days to process before you can use it.
Wait, what?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So
to process?
Well, I look at the gift card. It says to use your gift card, simply print it out, bring it to the theater. I'm like, no, I want to use it online. It says to use your e-gift card online at cinemark.com, enter the 12-digit e-gift card number and make your purchase. Terms and conditions. Please allow 3 business days for card activation.
You have got to be kidding me.
That is terrible.
So, up to 3 business. So I'm like, okay, great. So
where do you buy a gift card where you can't use it like immediately? I mean, even you go down to McDonald's and you get a gift card and you can use it right then.
Well, if I went to the store and bought one at the, you know, at the movie theater, I'd be able to use it right away.
Right.
This says, you know, 3 hours to 3 days. I'm like, oh my God. So I ended up buying the movie tickets on my phone, paying the $250. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll get a gift card. I'll use it for the next time we have a movie occasion to go to. But I'm like, you know, really? You know, this should be instantaneous. And then on top of it all, why not just let me pay for my movies with my credit card like I bought the gift card with my credit card? Why should they, you know what I mean? Why should there be a charge for that?
Because they can. And here's the funny thing.
And if you're paying $15.25 a movie anyways.
It costs more for them to have an employee out at the counter. Not only does it cost more, it's a worse customer service experience. To have an employee out at the counter ringing up people for tickets as an actual like point of sale transaction. It's mm-hmm. cheaper for them to automate the system online, and they charge you money for what actually costs them less. That's what cracks me up.
Mm. Yeah, it's just like the banks. I mean, when they went to, you know, ATMs instead of having personal, you know, service at the counter all the time.
Exactly.
Same thing. It's like, you know, you're charging me more for a transaction than I'm doing myself.
Well, and even then, maybe you could argue, okay, you have to have a machine there. But you're using the internet for the tickets. It's not like you have to go up to a little machine to buy your ticket and maybe they have to like pay to have the machine there.
Pay for the machine, like, pay for it. Yeah.
Right. But there's nothing about this.
It's the same kind of thing for almost everything these days. I mean, if you buy a ticket from Ticketmaster or, you know, to your local concert venue, you know, print at home tickets is like $5. I'm like,
yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm going to print my ticket at home on my own printer with my own ink, and you're going to charge me $5 for it.
Right. I'm doing all your work for you. Man, I think you should just stop seeing movies.
Well, that's not fun.
But you know, where's your incentive? You say that. You're not in the movie draft anymore.
Yeah, who am I supporting by going to see Secret Life of Pets?
I don't know. It wasn't me. I got Suicide Squad.
Oh, my gift card is active now, finally, after half a day. Okay.
That's ridiculous. I mean, even half a day.
It should be instantaneous. But then, and on top of it all, I still have the problem of, okay, I can go to Cinemark.com. I can buy a gift card. They charge me no fee to buy the gift card. I pay, you know, $25 for the gift card. I get face value of $25. Or I can use my same credit card to buy the tickets on the app or online and get charged $250 to do that. Why?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. Well, I guess I'll get off my soapbox now. So I feel better.
Good. That's ridiculous. I don't get it.
You know, it makes me wonder if there will eventually be a point in the future where people will just want to stop seeing movies at the movie theater because it's such a hassle to go, especially for a family.
That's already here.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who just don't want, especially those with a large family, a bunch of kids. There are a lot of people who just do not go to the theaters now because it's a hassle. Because if you don't have kids, there are kids there who are screaming, even at the mm-hmm. R-rated 10 p.m. showings. You got people kicking the back of your chair. You got people on their cell phones, regardless of how many times you tell them to turn it off.
I mean, things have gotten better recently. You know, the newer theaters with the recliners, there's fewer people in the theater. You're spaced farther apart. It's harder to see the people in front of you. You know, it's such a nice stadium seating arrangement.
But you're paying for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like $15, $17 a movie, you know, for the better theaters with the 3D and everything else. If you bring a family, that, you know, that adds up pretty quick.
You better be rich. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, but home theater stuff has gotten so much better recently and so much less expensive than it used to be. You know, you put a big TV on the wall and you have a DVD player or a Blu-ray player or streaming, and you've got high def right in your home. I can pause it and get up and go to the restroom or get up and make some more food.
Right.
I'm well, not paying $20 like for a thing of popcorn.
That screening room system that we talked about.
Yeah, a few months ago. Yeah, back in January or something like that. Yeah. Interesting concept, you know, paying, was it $150 for the equipment and then like $50 for a movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I mean, interesting concept. I don't know if it'll take off, but it's economically, it's not much different than going to the theater.
No, and for some people, it'll be a lot less, believe it or not.
Mm.
And, you know, let's not forget, there are a lot of places, maybe not a lot of places, but there are many places that are very highly populated where you also have to pay for parking.
Yeah,
you also have to pay for a babysitter if you have kids. And that, wow, let me tell you, that's not cheap anymore. In fact, as I'm job hunting, I'm learning that might not be a bad career option. I'm thinking about just babysitters make more than I do.
Professional babysitter. There you go.
Yes. If you go through an agency and you get certified and you have a CPR certification and all of these different things. Yeah. I mean, you can be pulling in $15 to $18 an hour. So it's not bad, but yeah, I mean, it does add up a lot. I think we should just boycott.
Boycott the movies entirely.
We're done. Well, yeah.
You know, Joel in the chat room says, I can't boycott until after I see Star Trek. I think he paid a lot for that.
Oh, Joel's the one who got Star Trek. Okay. All right.
Well, when I get my gift card activated now, I'll use it for seeing Star Trek. So
there you go.
Well, what do we have in the news here? We don't have a
lot. Not much. Yeah.
Someone threw something in here about Ghostbusters getting good buzz. I haven't heard that at all.
That was...
I haven't heard much of anything about Ghostbusters, so I shouldn't say it like it's a bad thing, but...
Yeah, I mean...
What have you guys heard?
To be fair. Not... here's what I've heard. I've heard that the buzz so far is pretty good. No, there's still an embargo right now on the press screenings, and that embargo is about to be lifted. I want to say on the 10th it's supposed to be lifted. But
this comes out, what, next weekend? Not this weekend, but the weekend, the 15th, I guess? I think so. Later.
I think it's the 15th. I'd have to look it up. I don't have it here in front of me. But the... I'm trying to think. It might have been Screen Rant that was talking about it. Screen Rant or Latino Review. But apparently, once the embargo gets lifted, we can expect a lot of the reviews to be pretty positive.
Okay. Yes. 7/15 is the release date for that.
Okay. So
really
it's coming up pretty quick.
Me.
I don't know. It doesn't surprise me too much. I mean, Kristen Wiig has been pretty selective with the type of things that she's done. If not Melissa McCarthy.
Mm.
And,
I just think back to the bad track record that SNL people tend to have in the big screen.
But not all of them.
Not every movie. There's been some winners, but most of them have been pretty lackluster.
Yeah.
And to have this big of a franchise come out and have, or this beloved of a franchise, I should say, come out and get something that may not be good, I'm really worried about it.
But Paul Feig, is it Feig? 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 Paul. he's pretty good. He's a good filmmaker. You know, the Marvel films... have not been too shabby. You know, and I don't think that they would let this franchise like just really, really suck. You know, I mean, I have to think that they would have put some money into it. They would have been, the studio would have been very careful with the screenplay. You didn't hear a lot of stories about, oh my gosh, they might do a reshoot Rogue One. like you didn't hear any of that stuff during production. What you heard were the fans, a selection of the fans griping about the fact that it was a female cast instead of a male cast.
Mm-hmm.
You did hear a much larger selection of people, including some celebrities. In fact, I think at one point, even Melissa McCarthy herself complaining about the first trailer. Because the first trailer was not very good. It did not sell us on the film at all. But then after that, the subsequent trailers were pretty good. The TV spots were pretty decent. I think maybe it was, I mean, so far it's been a victim of bad marketing. I haven't seen any indication that the movie itself is necessarily going to suck. And again, I have to believe that they probably would have been pretty careful with this franchise. So,
see, I want to believe that, but you know, when I look at the trailers we've had now for this movie, and I look at the things they're showing in the trailers, you know, when I compare it back to the original Ghostbusters, that to me was a, this may sound strange, but a serious comedy. It wasn't slapstick. It wasn't, you know, outlandish. It wasn't just, you know, a gag effect for a gag. It was a smart comedy.
Right.
This one seems to look at, like, you know, some of the stuff, like the whole thing of them getting slimed in this movie. It's like, wasn't handled the same way. It just feels wrong. I don't know. Maybe it's just out of context. Maybe I got to see it in the movie, but
I think that here's what my take about people's attitudes toward Ghostbusters is at the moment. And by the way, Jonathan in the chat room, hi Jonathan, pointed out those are two different people, Paul, whatever, and Kevin, whatever. Okay. But Paul is the better one, and so we can trust him more with Ghostbusters.
Okay.
I'm just saying that only because we're talking about Ghostbusters, and I need my point to still hold up somehow. But anyway. So first, thanks for clearing that up. You are correct, and I'm woefully wrong. I think that a lot of the attitudes about Ghostbusters right now come from the fact that first impressions are really important. And again, that first impression with that first trailer was, at best, it was mediocre. And Ghostbusters is not supposed to be mediocre. In fact, mediocre might even be giving it too high praise. So what happened is we all, myself included, immediately went into this mode where, oh, wow, you don't do that with Ghostbusters. And we all became protective of it because it means something to us. And I think that anything that's come out after that, we've looked through the lens of defensiveness as we're looking at what's coming out. So I think that it's sad because I think it's really going to hurt the film, because I don't think right now people are going to be looking at the film fairly. People are going to be looking at the film with, you know, metaphorically speaking, with them leaning back, their arms crossed in front of them with this scowl on their face, like, you darn well better impress me.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to going in and saying, okay, let's see what they did with this. Like, you know, any sense of curiosity is gone. Any other than people expecting to go in to see what kind of a train wreck it is. Any sense of, you know, happiness that maybe they're bringing it to a modern generation. All of this is gone. And everything has been filtered through this first trailer and our immediate disappointment with it. So I think that it's not going to get a fair shake, probably because of those first impressions. And in order to do well at the box office, sadly, I think it is going to have to do spectacularly good instead of just really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll know in another week or so, I guess. But
yeah, it's coming up pretty
quick.
I'll
keep my fingers crossed. I hope it's good. I really do. I mean, I don't wish them ill will. I don't want to see this fail. I like the franchise. I just don't want it to be a silly comedy, you know?
Well, I mean, to some extent, it's supposed to be silly.
Right, but I didn't think the original was silly, you know? I mean, it had its moments that were a little, you know, off color,
okay.
But for the most part, it was just a good, smart comedy. You know, the players involved did a great job. I don't think we have the same kind of players involved,
right?
As the main cast, I'm just worried. I don't know. We will see. I'm hoping it's good, but I have a feeling it's not going to be.
I'd rather see it avoid stereotypes. Not stereotypes as in the fact that the cast is female, although that can be some of it, but stereotypes of typical comedy movies nowadays.
Yeah.
I feel like it's rare that you get something that is a comedy that everyone goes to the theater to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So And I honestly, I don't have faith in Ghostbusters doing that, but you never know.
It would be nice if they could avoid some of the tropes.
Yeah.
That we see all the time. I'm going to hijack the show for a minute here.
Oh, you are?
And I'm going to blame this on the chat room.
Okay, good. You're going to blame somebody else besides me. I like it.
Yeah, no, this is definitely the chat room's fault. Let me see. Who is it? Nerdish? Nerdish J. Well, no, he commented on it before that. Yeah, okay, I guess it was Joel. Joel, this is all your fault. Okay, just wanted to make sure I got attribution to the correct sources. That's important if we're going to have some people erroneously believe that we are into any sort of journalism, which we're not and never claim to have been. But so there are certain topics that we don't discuss here on the network. Religion is one of them. Politics is another. I try to avoid sports as much as possible. And the main thing is because no matter what you say about religion and no matter what you say about politics, people will immediately jump to a certain conclusion based on the direction it appears you're going and will stop listening to what you're actually saying and will either become hyper defensive of their own views or hyper aggressive toward any views that don't fit into their own little bubble. And it's not even as clear as, you know, left wing versus right wing. I mean, there's all kinds of like little subcategories of all of that right now. And it's not worth trying to present a point or have a discourse on a podcast like this and have everything else shut down as far as the listeners go. So we just generally avoid those. It's not that we don't think that they're important. The topics are important. Especially like this week, we've had a couple of police shootings. And I am a former police officer, and B, I'm Caucasian. And so I know for a fact, because I've been told this by people, my opinion, like I can't understand what's going on. And as far as I'm concerned, I can, you know, I understand how tragic the loss of life is, especially when it's completely unnecessary. I understand how some, and I'm not judging a particular policeman here or commenting on a particular incident, but I can definitely attest to firsthand the misuse of power and authority by police officers. I've seen it. I've worked with people like that. I've struggled against it along with some of my other coworkers internally. I do understand, but because of who I am, people automatically shut it down. And a big topic right now in Hollywood, and including in the Star Wars community, is diversity, which the three of us support. So I'm going to bring this other news topic up, and I hope people will listen. I hope people won't just immediately tune us out, because I am white, I am straight, I am male, and so you can judge what I say however you'd like based on those criteria, I guess. But Star Trek, I don't think this is really a spoiler, and I think it's hit enough of the major news sources that I'm not considering this a spoiler, and I don't think it has anything to do with the actual story of the film. I think this is more of an aside that happens in the film. So, you know, spoiler warnings, take it for however you will. It's been revealed that in the upcoming movie Star Trek Beyond, the character of Sulu will be revealed to be gay. And I have no problem with that. That's fine. What makes it particularly newsworthy, I think, is that the actor who originally portrayed Sulu, George Takei, has been heralded as a prominent leader in the LGBT community. He's been very, very active online, on social media. He's been active in the news. He has fought vigorously for proper representation of people within the LGBT community. And so it was expected that he would consider this good news. And according to the Hollywood Reporter, a direct quote from George Takei is, quote, "I think it's really unfortunate." Which is not what I think people were expecting him to say. In fact, who was it? Cho. John Cho?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For some reason, I blanked on his first name there. The guy who currently plays Sulu apparently contacted George and told him about it. And, you know, thinking that George would be really excited. This is like a while ago. And George was not. He felt that Gene Roddenberry's vision for Sulu was not as a gay character. And so George Takei said, why don't you introduce a new character and have him had been gay all along? Now, it doesn't say this in this article, but I get the impression that there's more to the story, literally, not figuratively, but like the actual story in the film about Sulu being gay, because it seems that George Takei, one of the main issues he has with this, if I'm reading this Hollywood Reporter article correctly, is that, you know, as someone who has struggled with being in the closet in Hollywood and the difficulties involved in that, and regardless of what your stance is on this sort of thing, having to pretend that you are someone you're not has to be painful. And he is of the opinion that in this utopian future that Gene Roddenberry created, people would not have to be in the closet about who they are. And so it seems to be, if I'm interpreting this article correctly, George Takei's main issue is that Sulu would not have been in the closet about it. And so therefore now revealing that this is the case is part of what George Takei has an issue with. But then the Hollywood Reporter article goes on to explain that that it was never really revealed previously anything that happened. It was revealed that Sulu had a daughter, which apparently is also going to be revealed in the upcoming film. He and his husband have a daughter together. So it doesn't contradict anything that happened prior in the chronology. So I don't know.
Everything I've read doesn't say anything about them keeping it a secret,
right?
Up until it was like he was in the closet up until now. And then the USA Today article I read said the quote was, "Unfortunately, it's twisting of Gene's creation to which he put so much thought into. I think it's really unfortunate."
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of is weird to me, because why would there be an issue in this? Because this is an alternate reality or in an alternate timeline. Things are twisted. Everything's twisted. So why would that be a problem for George now to say it's not what, you know, Gene Roddenberry originally envisioned?
Well,
none of this is really. It's a brand new timeline.
I'm going to do something I don't normally do, and I'm going to play devil's advocate. I was expecting
you?
Chuckles there.
You?
Okay.
Yeah.
Far be it from me to, so first, I think that even if they reboot things, they still kind of want to stay true to George's, Gene Roddenberry's vision. At least I'm assuming that. It would be nice if they still felt that way. And I think the other thing too, and I could be wrong here, I'm not that much of a Trek fan that I really have analyzed all the nuances of it. But it seems like the branching off of the two timelines happens with the destruction of Vulcan, with Nemo coming back from the future and kind of splitting things off into a different timeline. So it seems like it would have, like, again, I don't think that this breaks anything that came before. And I have to also admit that, with the exception of Enterprise, which I saw maybe four episodes of, I would say the original trilogy, or the original Star Trek series is, here I go with Star Wars stuff, original trilogy. I would have to say that the original series is probably my weakest familiarity with Star Trek.
Okay.
So maybe I am missing something somewhere, but I don't think it breaks it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole timeline chronology thing and when things change to me is a little fuzzy, I suppose. But, you know, if this is an offshoot from that other timeline and things are, you know, pretty different, I mean, I think we all say that. The same characters, the same names, but they're there for different reasons. We have different, you know, things going on in the universe now. I don't see why this would be against what Gene Roddenberry had done from the beginning.
Right.
But. Mm-hmm. I mean, George Takei did want to say in here that it wasn't because Roddenberry was homophobic. He's a strong supporter right. of the LGBT community. Takei explained, in fact, he pitched the idea of a gay character to Roddenberry back in 68. But he said he had been pushing the envelope and walking a very tight rope. And if he pushed too hard, the show would not be on the air. And they were pretty known for being groundbreaking stuff back in the day. I mean, the first interracial kiss and, you know,
right.
all kinds of other stuff on there. Mm-hmm. So. You know, they really did do a good job with the series back in the day, and I guess I'm kind of surprised at why this is an issue in this movie, but
I think a lot of people are stunned by what they're seeing as irony, from George Takei's response, and I kind of look at it in two different ways. Number one, I completely agree with George in the sense that it doesn't really fit the story. For someone in, what is it, the 23rd century? Whenever it is that the Star Trek stuff takes place, in this universe that Gene Roddenberry created, it does not make sense for a character to be in the closet. Because that is not the society that it exists in that story, in that time period. So in that regard, I think George Takei is spot on. I mean, that makes perfect sense. And if that's the approach they're going to take in the movie, then I completely understand him having an issue with that entirely. And I agree with him that that is not a move in the right direction. On the flip side, though, I'm a straight white man in his early 40s, so take this how you will, but I feel like it doesn't matter. Like, in the same way that it doesn't matter to me what race you are, it doesn't matter to me whether a character is male or female in a story. Well, I mean, in real life too, but I mean, like, again, what matters to me is it an interesting character in the story? Does it represent a world that either is the world I live in or a world I would want to live in? Or if it's a dystopian story, maybe on purpose, a world I would not want to live in. Like, is it consistent with the representation of what should actually be that universe? And, you know, when it comes to gay characters or lesbian characters or whatever, when you're talking about sexual orientation, are they having sex on screen? No. Then does it even matter?
Right.
So who cares? Mm-hmm. So I guess the way I'm looking at it is, if it doesn't change the story and it doesn't change the nature of the character, and by that I mean the decisions that Sulu would make in regards to, you know, the work he's doing. I mean, we're not watching a movie about, you know, people sitting around playing poker. Maybe they do that in their free time, but we're not watching a movie about what they do in their free time. We're watching a movie about what they do with their military service in Starfleet. Do his decisions as someone who's gay affect his military decisions? If not, then it doesn't matter. Then it's just part of his identity as a character, and I don't understand why it would matter what Gene Roddenberry's vision may or may not have been, because it was just part of the story, part of that character story that was never fully fleshed out. Just like, I don't know what Spock's favorite color is. Well, if somebody reveals that it's purple, can you really say, well, that wasn't Gene's vision for that? Well, do we even know? Is it relevant? Now I have to back up and say, I'm not equating sexual preference to color preference. My point is, See, and this is why I don't like having conversations like this on the podcast, because I feel like people are quick to jump to something that they can sink their teeth into. My point is, we're there to watch a story about characters and about situations. And I don't see, all due respect to George Takei, and I mean that, like, all due respect to George Takei. And my wife follows him vigorously on Facebook and, like, probably is her one of her favorite Facebook celebrities. But I'm curious, like, I'd like to hear more from him about this and why he feels like it doesn't fit. I do understand his point about, you know, bringing a new character and have that new character always have been gay. Okay, well, that's fine. But the reality is that the mainstream audience is not going to latch on to a new character, because so many times in franchises like these, especially in Star Trek, new characters get introduced for an episode and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the movies, look back at the history of Star Trek movies. You get a new, like, main character who is there with the main cast for that one movie, and then they're gone.
Right. Or even if they're added in, it's like you're an add-on. You're not really right. Part of the main group. We think of you as being separate.
Exactly. You're not one of the heroes. You're there as a mechanism for the vehicle of the story. So, I don't know. That's my take on it.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing I get out of this is I wish these kind of things weren't news items. I mean,
well, right.
If you have a gay character in a show, if it fits the story and you want to have it in there, fine. It shouldn't be newsworthy. It shouldn't be, oh my God, this is the story now, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
It, you know, I'm not against it. I'm not for it. It's just, it should just be part of the story. It shouldn't take up any more space than that.
You're looking forward to
the story, not the ins and outs of why we did this.
Right. You're looking forward to a day where this is just, it's like a non-issue anymore, because the representation is equal. And sadly, we're at a point right now where it's not yet there, which is why it is a news story. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm like, let's just, you know, it's there and let's move along.
It's, as you guys have been talking, I've been thinking about this, and it's really I don't really want to say this is an argument per se, but I can definitely see George's point with this,
mm-hmm.
but from an in-universe perspective, like you guys said, it's an alternate timeline. So really anything could happen. And I mean, I can see what his point, because I mean, I don't fit into any category of a minority or a group that is underrepresented, but I know that if I would personally, I would have rather seen a new character, be it, you know, a black character or a female character or a gay character or whatever. I'd rather see a new character, because, you know, if you want to take it, somebody that is established and change them, like I know that they put in the news, I think yesterday or today, that there's technically a new version of Iron Man who is a black teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. But if you, and I don't know if the story or anything behind it, but I know if I would go and, let's say, search Iron Man on Google, chances are I'm going to get Tony Stark.
Right.
I'm not going to get this new version of the character. So, whereas if I would go search, you know, if they would make a new character, I could just search them and I would get only those results. And I feel like this, even though you can't Google search someone's sexual orientation, you know, that I hope my point is coming across. But then again,
it's well, and they've done this before too with Spider-Man, with Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Captain America,
mm-hmm.
with the Falcon taking over as Captain America. I think that the issue is you're piggybacking off of something else instead mm-hmm. of making them a strong character in their own right.
Exactly. And about the alternate universe thing, I kind of like this idea just because, you know, usually you just see, usually when you have a gay character put into a popular franchise, now this isn't always the case, but it has happened before where they're just like, they're shoehorned in there, and it's, you know, it kind of feels like you're just doing it to like get a reaction from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of a clever twist on it because, you know, alternate universe. And even if the original character was supposed to be straight, which by all indications, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Or it didn't matter before. So, I mean, this is, even if it did, this is a nice spin on the way to do it. So, and it makes sense. So,
well, and the other thing, which I kind of appreciate, was that one of the reasons for this was kind of to pay tribute to George Takei and the work that he's done in that community. So
yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, it kind of feels like, you know, all the more reason to make that part of the character. And again, it doesn't break anything.
Yeah. I think that was one of the original thoughts of that move, was to pay tribute to him.
Right. So I don't know. I mean, I don't fault him his opinion on it by any stretch. I guess I just don't. Again, unless Sulu is closeted, in which case I do get the whole fact that nobody really should be in that time period in that society. With that exception, I don't understand why George is finding this unfortunate, as he put it. But anyhow, I mean, that's basically the story as it is. If you guys want to learn more about it, like I said, there's a great article over at The Hollywood Reporter. Just go to hollywoodreporter.com. And if you're listening to this anytime within recent release, it's probably going to be one of the top stories there. So, but, you know, and shoot us an email. We'd love to know what you think about it. Okay, I'm done hijacking the... but that,
well,
but you know,
it did pad out our news for a little bit longer than we thought we were going to have. So
it did, and you know, we talked before about the fact that this was kind of a big news story, and did we want to cover it? And
yeah,
I don't know. I think it went okay. I think we managed to do it with probably without pissing off too many people. So maybe we're okay.
Well, you know, we can blame the chat room, and, you know, we should have an email address for, you know, chatroom@randomchatter.com. So that's where we'll go and let them field that.
I don't know if I could trust them to answer the emails, though.
Well, let's see here. Do we have anything for the What Were They Thinking weekly section? Do you want to hijack again for a few minutes? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. You like how I put the cryptic little things in the show notes there, right?
Yeah, of course. I can't decipher those at all.
Yeah. So, two things. First of all, I don't know. You guys probably aren't big on the Pokemon craze. Are you? I don't know. Chris, you're a little younger, maybe.
I kind of am, okay. But I haven't tried Pokemon Go yet, and I don't know if I will, just because I'm not a big fan of mobile stuff.
Yeah, me either. Well, Pokemon Go is now officially released. This is something that I don't keep up with Pokemon. My son is kind of into them a little bit. He doesn't really have the understanding of the card game, but he likes all the different characters and having the cards. He thinks the little monsters look cool. But I do keep up with iOS releases, and all the rage has been this Pokemon Go app that's been coming out. Now it's finally here. And my basic understanding of the way it works is that it is an augmented reality app, which means you load it up on your screen, it uses your camera, and then it overlays things in what it shows on your camera. So you're walking around outside in the park, and your screen shows what the camera is seeing, trees and squirrels running around and grass and stuff. But then they're in the grass, there's a Pokemon. And so you have the little Pokeball or whatever they call it, and you can use it to catch the Pokemon. And it also uses your GPS as well. So there are different real world locations you can go in your area to catch different types of Pokemon, or there are different for lack of a better way to describe it, different stations that you that are more permanent that you can go to in the real world to collect certain items and things like that. So this was soft launched in, I think, at least one of the areas was Australia, I think also New Zealand. And if you're not familiar with that, that means before they release it in some of the larger countries like the United States, where 18 gazillion people get on and use it all at once and crash the servers, they do load balancing tests. And what they found, and this is something that software testers have done for years. Well, they found that in cases of like iOS apps where you can release it in certain countries before other countries, that testing it in countries that also really like apps but just aren't as heavily populated is a great way to do load balancing tests. So that's why a lot of times you'll get a soft launch in Australia, New Zealand, then you'll get one in Canada, and then you'll get a full launch in the United States. The Australian police have had to actually put up some public warnings about Pokemon Go. This one is from the Darwin Police Station in Northern Australia. They posted on Facebook, "For those budding Pokemon trainers out there using Pokemon Go, whilst the Darwin Police Station may feature as a Pokestop, please be advised that you don't actually have to step inside in order to gain the Pokeballs."
What?
You don't have to go inside the police station to trigger the location-specific items that you acquire.
Should they just have all these kids
all these kids coming into the police station? Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It goes on. "It is also a good idea to look up away from your phone and both ways before crossing the street." That sand shrew isn't going anywhere fast.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we already have, where was it? Was it in Korea? I think that they're testing street signs to get people to, when they're crossing the street, to look up from their phones and actually look as they're crossing the street, because it's such a problem with people just walking out into traffic, their face buried in their phone, not even realizing that, you know, traffic is active in that street. Of course, I'm thinking if they're doing that, are they really looking up at the street signs either?
Probably not.
But yeah, so now we also have to worry about little kids trying to catch Pokemon. It's going to be tragic, but I'm just waiting for there to be some kind of news item about some kid who ran out into a street to catch an imaginary Pokemon located in the street and gets hit by a car. I'm not saying it's the app developer's fault, but that's going to suck. So yeah, there you go. Australian police had to actually get involved and tell people to stop coming into their police station and look
where
you're
interesting.
Walking. Yeah. The other one, we have a winner for worst iPhone case ever. Let's see, where is this? This is in London. A guy walked into an airport carrying a gun. Now, I have not spent more than probably an hour and a half in the UK, having never left the airport as a transition from a flight that was then proceeding on to Germany. But my understanding is that in the UK, you don't use guns, like, at all. My understanding is even the policemen generally do not carry guns. So someone walking into a London airport with a handgun it's kind of a big deal. It wasn't actually a handgun. It was a gun-shaped iPhone case that are apparently gaining popularity. And if it's anything like the picture that's here on this article from 9to5mac.com, again, as a former law enforcement person, from more than like maybe 6 feet away, this looks like a real gun, at least as it's sitting in this guy's pocket.
Yeah, I just pulled up an article here too, and it looks like the same thing you're talking about. It is, it's a handle of a gun sticking out of his pocket.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, what would make anybody want to say no? That's perfectly fine.
And I'm sorry, but if you're near a policeman, at least one that's armed, and they see you pull that out, they're pulling theirs out too, and theirs is real. And yeah, that's their job. I mean, policemen are not psychic, so there are a certain set of criteria that have to be met, at least in theory, and that's a whole different discussion, as we've seen in the news over the last week. But there is supposed to be a list of criteria that establishes probable cause to even draw your gun, let alone fire it at someone.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing someone pull out what clearly appears to be a handgun and wield it is, in fact, justification to draw down on someone.
Wow. You know, I love some of the tweets coming out after this. You just kind of love people in the UK. A second tweet added, bringing this to an airport makes it much less likely you'll catch your plane. Don't be daft. I think that's awesome.
Don't be daft. That should be our episode title.
Don't be daft. Week. Yeah, there you go.
But I mean, not only is it in bad taste, it's dangerous. It's dangerous for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You start pulling this out of your pocket, you're going to get shot.
Don't do things to intentionally confuse other members of the public in regards to whether or not their life may be in danger, nor police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's just stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
Because if I'm near you and I'm in an airport and I see you pull what, again, clearly appears to be a gun out of your pocket, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm at least going to attempt this. I might not succeed, but I'm going to have you down on the ground, break your arm.
Right.
And then go for your gun.
Or even if you're not pulling it, even if you see somebody walking around and they reach for something and their shirt comes untucked and you see this phone case sticking out of their pocket, you know, in this day and age, you're going to tackle the guy.
Right.
You know, I mean, gosh, you're on the plane already and you're putting something in the overhead bin and your shirt comes up and they see a gun in your pocket.
Right.
They're going to tackle you and ask questions later. I mean, geez. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Another tweet here is the common sense gene is recessive in so many people.
Yes.
Wow.
So there's your what were they thinking for the week?
Seriously, what were they thinking?
That is right. A good one.
That's the thing. They just weren't. They were not thinking at all.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, Chris, that brings us to you and the lightning round. We got a few things in there we could probably go over real quickly.
All right. So, Conan O'Brien is offering free tickets to San Diego Comic-Con attendees. I assume this is for his show.
Yes.
His TV show. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix will start streaming CW shows the day after each season's finale. Sling TV arrives on Apple TV. The port of Final Fantasy VII has arrived on Android. Anna Kendrick says she wants to play Marvel's Squirrel Girl. And No Man's Sky has officially gone gold and will come out on August the 9th.
I have to get my pre-order in for that.
Yeah, I do too.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here. Do either of you know who Squirrel Girl is?
No.
No, but Anna Kendrick can play anybody she wants.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'll let her, you know, whatever she wants to do, that's fine.
So, Squirrel Girl is, I honestly don't think I've read a single issue of a comic with her in it, but she is a character who is, she's a girl who is a squirrel.
The size of a squirrel or the size of a human?
Size of a human, maybe a little like small for a human, but you know, human-ish with a tail and the ears and, you know, the cute little squirrel nose and the whiskers. And
does she run out in front of traffic and stop and turn around?
Yeah, that's her superpower, is getting people to squeal on their brakes. No, I mean, I don't even know anything about like how she was created or where she first appeared or anything like that. But I know she's been around for ages. She's one of those you know, Jack Sawyer the Rabbit sort of things for Marvel, like just this goofy character that got created apparently for no good reason at all. But for some equally inexplicable reason, she's been more popular over the last few years and has been becoming more prominent in the mainstream Marvel universe in the comic books. Definitely still not an A-lister, but like she's actually appearing in things of substance.
Wikipedia has her starting in 92. January of 92 was her first appearance.
Really? That recent? I figured she was way older.
No, first appearance was Marvel Superheroes Volume 2, Number 8, a.k.a. Marvel Superheroes Winter Special.
A.k.a.
in January 1992.
A.k.a. Marvel's What Were They Thinking? Wow.
Let's see. She joined the Great Lakes Avengers.
That's not surprising. Do you know anything about the Great Lakes Avengers?
No. Is that a hockey team up in Great Lakes area?
No, that would be much better.
Okay.
So the East Coast Avengers were, at least in the 90s, the East Coast Avengers were Captain America, I think Vision, Thor, a few others. And then there was the West Coast Avengers, which was led by Iron Man, who had... I think Scarlet Witch, Wonder Man.
Is that where Tupac got shot?
Yes.
The whole East-West thing?
East-West thing. Yep. Very messy. But, you know, the X-Men had the blue team and the gold team, and I think they were kind of trying to do something similar with the Avengers. And it kind of worked. But then, just kind of as a joke, there was the Great Lakes Avengers, and it had things like the Doorman, who was like just this flat portal into other worlds or something. And I think there was another character named like Big Bertha or something, who was like a supermodel but would turn into this like huge 1,500-pound like female version of the Blob and basically would just sit on people. But it was like really, really lame superpower. Like if this is any indication of their viability as a superhuman team, I think they've made several appearances in Deadpool. And I don't even think Deadpool's ever fought them. I think he's basically just stood there and laughed at them for about six or seven pages at a time.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So Squirrel Girl, of course, would fit right in.
It says she also became the nanny to Danielle Cage, who was the daughter of Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. So,
wow,
she's got that whole babysitting thing going on.
There you go.
Kind of brings our story full circle.
Yeah. Once again, making more money than me. Squirrels make more money than me. I should go to my boss and say, listen, when that happens, there's something wrong with the world.
Oh, yes. Well.
So that's the non-story behind Squirrel Girl. And if that gets Anna Kendrick into the Avengers movies, then fine. That might be the happiest I've ever been to see Squirrel Girl in something. I can't even say that, Squirrel Girl. It's like
a hard thing to say. It really
does
is.
Not roll off the tongue.
Yeah, I had to prepare myself for that one.
Yes.
But otherwise, I'm happy about No Man's Sky. That sounds pretty awesome. I can't wait for that to come out. Sling TV on Apple. I got to check that out because I don't know much about Sling TV. I'm looking for ways to get my viewing elsewhere. So that'd be kind of cool.
You know, the only thing I don't like about the Apple TV is the lack of Amazon Prime, which there's rumors that that might be resolving soon. But that's the one thing I kind of feel has always been missing there. And if they get Sling on the Apple TV, then... if they got that and Amazon Prime, I mean, that'd be like the ultimate right there.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually beginning to really dislike the interface on Apple TV, especially when I'm trying to browse stuff that's on my computer, on my media server.
Yeah.
Is there a fast way to find something?
Yeah. Siri, play Deadpool. Siri, play season 2, episode 3 of Archer.
But that won't play from your media server, though, will it? That'll play from...
Oh, that's a good point.
It's streaming. Because like, you know, I'm trying to get my way through all the Star Wars movies now. And you know, Star Wars begins with S. And I'm scrolling and scrolling and scrolling until I get down to Star Wars. It's like, oh, my God.
Well, what? Oh, well, yeah, but it's always been that way.
Yeah, but there should be something easier.
Okay, so go by genre. Scroll down to sci-fi and pick Star Wars. Or, I mean, if you want, if there's movies you reference frequently, you can do playlists.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, but just do genre. I will tell you that the big issue I had with TV series is finally fixed, because I had the same problem with television, because I've got like gazillions of television shows.
Right.
And for the last few years, instead of browsing by series and then by season, so instead of going to Alias and then going to Alias season 6 and then going to the 8th episode, you have to scroll through Alias season 1, Alias season 2, Alias season 3, etc. And then you've got 7 seasons of Babylon 5. You've got, you know, it would take me 20 minutes to get down to the S's or the T's. And they fixed that now, so that's nice.
Oh, awesome. I haven't been looking at my TV shows much lately. I'll have to check that out.
I know that's nitpicky, but man, when you've got a kid and you've got a billion TV shows on the list.
Big difference. Definitely.
But anyway, yeah, so this is, I mean, this is really good news for cord cutters, and the Sling service apparently is really good. And, you know, we're getting closer. And then the CW with Arrow and Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, now apparently as soon as the finale airs, the next day you'll have the entire season available.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. That really is. I mean, it's always been, you know, not until the discs come out, which is usually like the week before the next season starts, so you're trying to binge watch them all pretty quickly. But yeah, it's nice to have that. I'm glad more and more things are coming around to Netflix that way.
Yeah.
Because that is my preferred way of consuming content is Netflix, I have to say.
Yeah.
Let's see, box office results for last week. Finding Dory, again, still leading the pack here. It's third week out there, still topping the charts at $41 million, up to $372.
Right. Something fishy going on there. That was just for Joel in the chat room.
Joel loved that, I'm sure. Let's see, Legend of Tarzan, first week out making $38 million. The Purge election year, first week out making $31 million. And the big freaking disappointment, I mean, Big Friendly Giant, made $18.8 million. So that was that's a sad day for that movie, really.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to do much better.
I mean, it's not bad all around for the box office, but I really would have expected that one to do a lot better.
Well, I expect it to do a lot better just because, I mean, if you look at Finding Dory in its third week out, making what, almost three times what it made?
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty amazing. Rounding out the top five here is Independence Day Resurgence, second week making $16 million. So that movie had to be a disappointment for that studio as well.
Yeah.
And they had been talking about what they're doing for the third one. And
there's a third one?
Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. Imagine.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, Finding Dory, I guess, is already the second highest grossing Pixar film behind Toy Story 3, and it's definitely going to surpass that. So
yeah, and I've heard people say it's not that great of a movie.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, compared to the first one. The first one's much better, what you're saying, that I've been talking to, at least.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Oh, well. What do we got coming up for this week's new releases?
Well, in the theaters, Secret Life of Pets is coming out, which is, I think it's going to be one of the bigger releases of the year. I don't think it's going to knock Finding Dory out of the running, but this movie has had the heck marketed out of it. Man, their marketing people have just been working nonstop. I'm really kind of sick of hearing about this movie now.
Right. There's a lot of tie-ins. There's a lot of product stuff going on now. Yeah.
But, you know, it's looking like it's going to end up being pretty successful. It's got a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes, so right around the 80% mark. That's going to be the big one. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, 55% on Rotten Tomatoes. It doesn't look like it's going to be that good. I don't think anybody really is expecting it to be very good. I think the people who are going to see it are basically the people who are just itching for some sort of a comedy and want to get out of the house. So we'll see how that holds up. DVD, not really a lot of news there. We've talked before about the Divergent series, Allegiant, coming out and Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice. I will say that I've watched the extras on Dawn of Justice. I never did get back to finish the entire special edition because it's like over 3 hours long. I will say I've watched at least the first half, maybe about 60% of the way through. The story holds up much, much better with the extended edition. The pacing is not great, but I think it resolves a lot of the problems with the motivations behind some of the characters. And overall, I think the story is much better. But the bonus features I thought were really good, too. I mean, there are a lot of just small shorts on things. Nothing like super exciting, but the making of the Batcave I thought was really cool. The look at the different characters in the DC universe that are getting cinematic releases. I mean, they had some footage of the upcoming Wonder Woman movie, some shots from Suicide Squad. They had some interviews with Jason Momoa from Aquaman, the guy who's playing the Flash. It was interesting. Some more stuff on Cyborg. I don't know that it's going to be enough to change anybody's opinion of the movie, but as much as I wasn't that thrilled with the theatrical release, I'm enjoying the extended release. I think that it at least it saves what was otherwise a tragically bad film and turns it into something that is at least a decent start for a cinematic universe.
Nice.
Yeah.
I hope it does. I hope when all said and done, you know, when more movies come out, this becomes a better movie as part of that whole collective. Yeah. I'd be happy with that. That'd be nice.
Well, I've got high hopes for the Wonder Woman movie and for the Batman movie. I think that both of them were cast very well. Ben Affleck's involvement creatively in the Batman movie, that's got me optimistic. And once again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I think that he is quite possibly the best Batman we've ever seen on screen.
Hmm. Well, on that note, for feedback, if you disagree with Eric on that at all, but no, sorry about that. If you want to talk about anything we've talked about in the show, please send us an email. You can find us at outerrim@randomchatter.com. We'd like to hear your thoughts on what we've discussed. Maybe if we miss a news story this week that you want us to talk about, please bring it up and let us know, and we will endeavor to do that.
You can find us online at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. We also have our website, randomchatter.com. And we are on Twitter. The show's Twitter is @OuterRimPodcast. The network's Twitter is @RandomChatter. My Twitter is @TheCurseOfChris. Lou, what about you?
I am at my name. It's just Lusecki, Lusecki.
And Eric?
I am at his name, too, only it's spelled ErikBlythe. And you can find you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We've got the main flagship Random Chatter show. And don't miss our recent summer movie draft. We'll be posting information. Probably by the time you hear this, you can head over to randomchatter.com and get information on how to participate in our summer movie draft. And, of course, we've also got Echo Base. We've got the summer editions of of the shows by Jay and Josh.
If you just say Josh's name first, that works out.
Josh
better.
And Jay. I need to start doing that. Yes. Man. Also, the Retro Convo. We just posted a back episode of the Sabacc Table. I think we've got another one coming out pretty soon. And very shortly, we're going to have Cordcast. So keep an eye out for that as well.
And definitely spread the word about the show and the network. You can leave reviews for us on iTunes and Stitcher. It really helps people find out about us and get us moving up the rankings. And as always, tell your friends about us, too.
And, of course, you can listen to us live. We do record shows on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. Tuesdays we do 10 p.m. Thursdays we start at 9 and go by about 11:30 midnight or so. You can find that at randomchatter.com/live, or you can do the Ustream app on your computer or on your phone. And if you do it on the phone, you get no ads, which is kind of nice.
And remember, all of those times are Eastern time zone, except the ones that are not. just to confuse people. All right. Special thanks to the people who have supported us through Patreon.com. It's a great way for us to be able to give something back to the people who help support the network. And it really does help out. We have expenses related to the hosting and, you know, trying to attend conventions and different services and stuff like that, that we try to have to keep things up and running. And we really appreciate the people who've helped out. We added two more people to our Slack channel this week, which is very exciting. I've got another one that I've got to add here right after we're done recording. If you would like to learn how to participate and hopefully join us in our Slack channel where we hang out and chat with people all through the week, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter.
Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you in about a week.
Take care.
Bye.
The Force will be with you always.